Christmas. All right. Good morning. It is smarter to travel in groups, and that's actually wisdom that comes from God. Just trust me. I'm going to tie this morning. Wouldn't it be great to have a place that you could go where everybody knows your name? But even a better, deeper community than the old Cheers TV show. God actually designed us to live in community. This isn't a pretty good idea that people came up with. Church. Talking about church. So last week we finished up a series on praise and worship. Next week we're launching a new series that's going to take us through an entire book of the Bible. Not the entire book of the Bible, but one of the books found in the Bible. I'm super excited about that. I'll talk about that later. But in between these series, God is wanting us to talk about family, to talk about the body of Christ. And we're going to do that in a fun way. We're going to actually have several of our ministry leaders up here to share about their passion for the body of Christ and the area that God has them bringing that passion and gifting. I want to look real quick before we move to that to a few verses that give us a picture of, regardless of what our picture is currently when you came in this morning, a picture from God's word of what biblical community looks like, to be the body of Christ, to be the church. Okay, Hebrews says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So that's happening in this community. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near of Jesus' return for his church. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So that's happening in the body of Christ according to God's heart and design for us. What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. All of these things were intended to be happening in the body of Christ to build each other up and encourage one another. Okay, I'll end on this one. So the Apostle Paul is teaching the church. This is God's heart. This is how the church functions. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to do all the ministry. Well, no, that's not what it says. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. Who are the saints? Every single person who has put their faith in Jesus Christ has become a saint, not by their own works, but by Jesus' work on the cross. So you are a saint if you have come to that place of faith in Jesus. So all these people have been gifted. He is Jesus here. In the context of this, he's talking about what Jesus has done to establish his church, his body. And it says he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood. So the picture Paul's using is child to full-grown man. That's the analogy that he's drawing, okay? So it's a maturing process of the church that we're actually growing like a human being matures. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that's the goal, that's the end goal of how far we're growing. So every church on earth, every church here in Duval is growing and maturing still because we haven't attained the fullness of the measure of Christ. Would you agree? Yeah. Would you agree that Adventure Church right now is not representing the fullness of the measure of Christ? But we can grow in that, and that's his goal. I can guarantee you that every church in this city is not there yet. And I'm friends with the other pastors. And we'd all get together and agree on that point. That's the point of us coming together and walking with God individually and together, is to be mature. And what an awesome end goal that we have, to achieve the fullness of Christ so that when people come to the church, they meet Jesus. Here's a statement that I think, as a church, we look at these verses and so many more in Scripture about the church. I think this statement kind of captures mission. Empowered by God to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Okay, so what we just read in those verses, what we see here is empowered to start with. And so we just learned, we just were talking in our last series about how when we come to faith in Jesus, we're given the Holy Spirit. That's the level of connection that we have with God, is that he comes and dwells in us by his Spirit. And that's the empowering. So what Jesus is up to is empowering his people, empowered by God, to help people meet. So when you come to church and interact in community, when somebody else comes to the church and interacts with the community of believers, they actually meet Jesus. They can see Jesus in how we love each other. And I go so far as to suggest that if there's anybody in this room who is a believer and is not stepping into or pursuing or bringing the giftings of the part of the body of Christ that you were meant to be, then the people who come to meet Jesus at a church are not experiencing the full character of God. Because God is relational, and he works in community, even in his nature, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he cannot be expressed in one particular person. We're each made in the image of God, right? And so we express God, but he designed it so that only when we come together and love in the way that he called us to love and move in the gifts of the Spirit the way he called us to, that people meet Jesus. They're like, oh my goodness, I just went to that church and I met somebody I've never met before. I met Jesus because of the way those people do community with each other and the way they welcome me into it, okay? And then know. And then they get to understand through our relationship with God, what does it mean to really know Jesus? And that's receiving that relationship that he's offering through Jesus, that relationship with God, okay? So that's where you come to know in the church. And the church is the place designed for us to know God deeply at a heart level for ourselves and allow other people to come in and know. And then follow. And how do people know how to follow Jesus? They watch people following Jesus. If we're a room of people who are all, we know our part in the body of Christ. And there's a journey to get there just walking with God, to know what is your part? What role has God cast you into? One thing that comes to me is God did not cast anyone as a spectator in his story. We all have a major role to play. It's the way he designed us. So people learn how to follow Jesus if we're following Jesus. And they see that played out. And they're like, this is what it means to really know God at a heart level. And this is what it means to follow him and live that out. Well, this morning, what I want to do and to kind of go after that, because I feel like God, through the leadership, through the staff, just what he's doing and accomplishing and showing us as far as direction from the beginning of this year, starting with prayer, and we dug deeper into prayer and what does it mean to have personal prayer life through worship and praise in our last series, and where he's taking us with our next series. I feel like what God wants us to do is he wants us to grow closer together in relationship, so that when people experience the body of Christ, they're experiencing the unity of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so what that requires is that we grow closer to the people you're sitting next to in this room right now. So in order to go after that, I want to actually interview the ministry leaders up front here and allow them to share a little bit about their experience with what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. And I don't only hope, I know that God's going to stir hearts here this morning who have been asking the question, where do I fit in? And it's not going to necessarily be to plug into a particular ministry that we talk about this morning, because there's things that we're not doing right now at Adventure that need to be happening, that God wants to draw up. But the reason they're not happening is because those things are sitting in these seats right now, and God's waiting for you to be awakened. This is an opportunity for him to awaken those things so that we continue to mature to reflect the fullness of Christ. Okay, if you're visiting this morning, you might be going, whoa, you know, this is intense. Super glad that you're here this morning to be with us. And this is a great Sunday for you to get to know the family of Adventure Church and some of its awesome leaders that we have. So I want to jump into that right now, and we're going to start by the adult ministries, weekday ministries, men's and women's, My wife, Star, leads women's ministry, and I lead the men's ministry, so. So, I get to ask my wife questions on stage. I could have fun with this. Okay, so. What was a favorite candy of yours when you were a kid?
The first one that came to mind, though, I like groups of favorites. It's hard for me to pick just
one. What was one of
the favorite candies? But one of them was bottle caps.
Bottle caps, yeah, yes. Bottle caps. I love bottle caps. Awesome. Star, would you share with me and all of us a little bit about God's heart and passion for women's ministry? And then in mixed up in that, like, why are you a part of it? Why are you passionate about it?
Yeah, Women's at Adventure, really our heart is to help other women feel like they belong, to be able to engage in community, to be known, and to know other people. That's a core desire that all of us have. And another part is to believe, to have an opportunity to grow in believing the Word of God, believing what He says about us is true, our identity, how He sees us, and then believing and then becoming, stepping into that, stepping into the glory of how He's made you. And that sometimes that means fighting on behalf of other women, helping them believe, or for ourselves, because we need each other. There's days where we can be doing awesome, and other days where we're believing the lies ourselves, and we need each other. And so it's an opportunity to really walk with each other in that.
Awesome.
And for me personally, one of my passions is team. It's family. It's working together. And because I grew up an athlete, I think very much in sports-mindedness. So, for example, take volleyball. I am a spiker. I'm a hitter. But the game of volleyball, for anybody who doesn't know, it won't work without the rest of the team. It's not a one-person game. And without a nice bump and without a sweet setter, there is no hit for Star to take, okay? So we all work together. We all have a part, and I love that about the body of Christ. And so I want to see women stepping into their gifting, individually finding that fulfillment, but even as a group, because then we're able to accomplish things and be on mission together. I love that.
Awesome. So who's the sweet setter out there that needs to get involved in women's ministry? So I know that that's a passion that God has and that you have. And I know that's a direction you guys have been going even currently on Tuesday nights, is helping give that opportunity for women to step into something they're passionate about and invite others into it. Yeah. And even doing some things, I know that you're putting together teams to actually help people who are in need and bless them in those ways.
Yes, because we meet on Tuesday nights at 6:30 to 8:30. But we're actually going to be having a special women's event on April 2nd. So even if you don't come regularly, come to that Tuesday night, April 2nd, because I am going to be sharing about gender issues and God's heart and that. So if you or anyone you know, everybody knows somebody who's ever wrestled with identity or gender or sexuality, come. I want to be able to share an encouraging and hopeful message on this really important topic. But also other ways, women's is not just if you can come on Tuesday nights. It's also for all the women at Adventure. And one of the ways you mentioned, we're starting to form kind of, I don't know if it's a rally group or a rally team. So everyone is needed and wanted in every part of ministry. But one that we're developing is learning how to come alongside other people better who are struggling or going through a hard time or sick, how to come alongside them. And we need a team to do that. Mm-hmm. Meals, cleaning, maybe watching kids, driving people places, whatever that might look like. But as a team, if you step in and do that, it's not too difficult for anybody. We have a Women's Adventure Facebook Women's Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And that is the main way that we connect and get the word out. So even if you don't regularly do Facebook, if you can connect in that way and check that, that's where we do a lot of communication, a lot of updates. You can find encouragement. Sometimes the Tuesday evenings are even recorded, and you can go on there and just be encouraged. We also post things like social events that we might be having, or even just organic things that somebody in our group is like, hey, I'm going to be doing exercises on Thursday mornings. Join me. Like Beth, wherever she is, where'd she go? And that really is happening. Let's see. What else am I forgetting about?
And they can, I know there's contacts in your bulletin for all these ministries.
Yes.
So they can find out more stuff there.
The other thing that I'm really excited about that's coming up, it's the end of April, is the women's retreat. So that is a great opportunity for everybody to be involved and to come and get to know each other, because you're actually able to be around each other long enough to sit and have a deep conversation or to play together. And that's going to be one of the purposes in this upcoming retreat. So we'll have more information and ways to sign up coming up soon, because that is the end of April. It's coming up.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Well, that's exciting. And I hope, even if it's just at the level of starting to attend some of those things and build relationship, that the women will give that some prayer, give that some thought. And there's lots of ways that you can bring your strengths to that ministry.
I have a question for you, though.
So you need to interview me.
I have a question for you. Did you not just hear?
Okay. Yes.
As a boy, would you rather cuddle or snuggle with a cat, a chicken, or a dog?
As a boy, you really put me on the spot there. Probably a chicken. I had chickens that were very, very tame, because I raised them from little babies. Mm-hmm. And so they would, if I had a sleepover with my friends, I'd bring my chicken and it'd sleep in the sleeping bag with me. So chickens have
sweet?
A special place.
They're actually really soft. Anyway.
So moving from that to men's ministry.
Men's ministry. So, yeah. You. What are some things, if you're a man, how could you be involved?
Bring your chicken Wednesday night. No, I think one of the passions that I have for men's ministry is because it's God's passion. And that's, we realize that we were born into a world at war, a spiritual war. And every guy out here, you know what I'm talking about. In the roles that you're called to, as a provider, as a husband, as a father, as a brother, those roles are constantly being attacked. And what I found with men's ministry is, if that group, and this is what I found to be true of our group of men, is willing to be transparent and honest and go deep and open up, we can actually help each other through those difficult attacks that come from the enemy, fight them back, and actually live a life of victory in those areas of our lives. And so that's crucial for me. Another thing is, men like to do stuff together. We like to eat food, we like to throw things, and we like to blow things up. Which leads me to our next upcoming event that we have, which includes all of those things. We have a skeet shooting event coming up this coming Saturday. And so normally we have Wednesday night 6:30 studies. We just finished our last study. I hope to have another study starting up, and that might even be a place of interest for someone to step in or to bring an idea of something they'd like to lead in that, to watch people stepping into their glory there. But we are going to also start doing more events. We call it YouTube Live, which means we have giftings and passions as men, and why go to YouTube and learn about how to fix something or how to do something when we can get together and learn it together? So any man in here, 18 or older, welcome to come next Saturday, 11:45 in the parking lot here. We're not going to do the skeet shooting here, but we're going to meet here, carpool out to some private property out in the valley, and we have one of our members here is a policeman, and he's going to do a whole training course on gun safety, teach us how to feel confident wielding a weapon, and then we're going to wield them. So even if you want to just come watch, there'll be food provided. $5 to $10 is going to be the cost. Just bring some money to help with that. But all the gear is provided and everything if you don't have any of that.
So would it be helpful if I let anybody know, or can I just show up? Or Either, both?
It would be good to know, just so we could have enough food for
you. You could just show up, but it would be good so they know how much food to have. And also, how, let's say I have a particular skill or interest. Is there...
Yes, I would love to. I would love to just have you reach out to me. You could reach out through the connection card in your bulletin and just let us know if there's something you'd like to bring. Maybe you'd like to host a YouTube event, something that you're passionate about that you think other men would like to learn or understand more or enter into, anywhere from ministry to fun stuff. So
yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Cool. Sweet. Thanks, Star, for coming
you
up
bet.
Here. I want to call up our Next Gen Ministries, Next Generation Ministries. Woo! All right, we'll start with Erica. So you guys are raising the next generation of worshipers, believers. If you had to paint your house hot pink or fluorescent orange, which one would you choose?
Hot pink.
All right, there you go. Sweet. Well, Erica, can you help us just share God's passion for children's ministry and your personal passion for that and why you're involved in it?
Yeah. Actually, I was this morning thinking about how it's St. Patrick's Day today. And you're probably wondering what that has to do with children's ministry. Well, if any of you are familiar with the actual story of St. Patrick, he was not Irish. He was actually an Anglo-Saxon living in England at the time, and he was captured by Irish pirates and dragged to Ireland and forced to work as a slave. And at that very low point in his life is when he began to turn toward the Lord, because he began to remember all of the teachings that his parents and his church had been speaking about Jesus and about what Jesus could do in your heart and for you and in your life. And it was during that really low point that all of those things that had been poured into him came back to him. And really, that is the essence of what we do in Next Generations Ministry. We pour into the lives of young people. I'm personally passionate about children's ministry in particular because I became a Christian at a vacation Bible school in my neighborhood when I was 5 years old. And so I know that the Lord can capture the hearts of very young children and he can keep them faithful to him for their lives. But as you had shared before, it's our passion in children's ministry to help kids meet, know, and follow Jesus as they are set on life's path. And it's a personal passion of mine as well to partner with parents by encouraging and equipping them in the high calling of raising kids that are devoted to Jesus and to his kingdom. Mm. And so, yeah, awesome. That's the passion piece.
Awesome. So if somebody were here, they might have a very specific idea of how to get involved in children's ministry. Can you help expand that?
One of the things about children's ministry that's important to know is that we fill our mission by creating an environment that is welcoming, loving, instructive, and engaging in all ways that point kids to Jesus. And I also like to be available to parents for counsel, advice, creating opportunities for parents and families to be involved in our community here at Adventure and in serving the greater community. Even around the world. But there are lots of ways to serve in children's ministry that don't involve changing diapers or corralling chaos. We definitely have Sunday morning opportunities in classrooms, working with kids, mentoring young hearts, and just spending a lot of time having fun with kids. But there's lots of other opportunities that you might not be aware of. Students, I see a lot of students, like high school and junior high kids in this room. And this is a wonderful opportunity for you to mentor kids younger than yourselves, to take the things you're learning in your life and in your experience with Jesus and to pour them into a younger heart.
And
you guys are cool. Way cooler than the adults.
Way cooler than me.
That's right. And so know that if you are in junior high or high school and are interested in serving in this ministry, I would love to talk with you about that. And I will sign any community service paper that you put under my hand if you are serving regularly in my ministry. Because some of you I know need those community service hours, and this is a great way to get them. Another thing that people don't realize is that a lot of opportunities don't have to occur in a classroom or even on Sunday morning. We have opportunities like helping with craft preparation, especially when the summer programs come up, and we have Kids Summer Adventure, also known as Vacation Bible School. And there's a lot of opportunities there. There's opportunities in special projects. We're in the process of wanting to create some acoustical panels for the large children's room downstairs so that it's not quite so echoey as kids are down there playing games and having a lot of fun. Helping keep the children's areas clean and organized. Maybe your gift is organization and you would like to offer that as an opportunity to serve. You may have very unique skills and abilities. For our Kids Summer Adventure, we're going to need a lot of support in even ways like videos for promotional purposes or for the skits and so forth that we're doing. And so you may have those kinds of skills and abilities that you could invest. Another way that you can serve in children's that might not occur to you naturally is there's a lot of resources that children's ministry needs to support the things we do for kids. So to make that easier for you, we have actually created an Amazon wish list. You will find it in your bulletin. No, Susan said it's not there.
Maybe next week.
It's in the email. It's not in the bulletin. It was...
All right.
It's in the email, well, and I'm going to put it on Facebook. At any rate, you can click on there, and there are resources that you can purchase for our ministry so that we can better reach kids for Christ. And so I just really appreciate you looking into that as a generous way also to serve this ministry.
Awesome. Thank you, Erica. Why don't you hand that to Jay Master over here, Jaden.
Jay Master, that's pretty good. I like
just
that.
Just came to me. Jaden, if you had the choice to have your head shaved for the rest of your life or never cut your hair again, which one would you choose?
Oh, you're killing me, Jeff. I want them both so bad.
I had to answer what I would cuddle, so you're getting off easy. It's not going cuddle.
I want a baby head.
Yeah, I'm talking shaved like Mr. Clean.
Okay.
This is a big decision.
This is a real life decision I'm actually making. I would say bald. I think.
Oh.
I think
tuned,
hair down
folks.
To my knees would just be too much.
All right, stay tuned.
I'd look so cool too. I could clean stuff really well.
Yeah. You could come clean my house. So, why do you think God is passionate about middle school ministry, and why are you passionate about it?
I'll start with our mission, which is basically to help kids gain the knowledge to know and follow Jesus and to instill the courage in them to just act out and fulfill their roles in his kingdom. And kind of a side mission or benefit to that is just to provide a safe place for them to be themselves as wild and crazy or as shy and insecure as they may be when they show up. As a middle schooler, I didn't have a place like that, and it really affected my personality. I really kind of went into a shell, and so we just let it go wild at youth group. gets really out of control sometimes. Try to reel it in, but it's not always possible. It's like herding kittens,
yeah.
But like loud kittens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're cute. But yeah, another part that I'm passionate about is really just that I know a lot of people have this idea that middle school is all about fun and games and middle schoolers are just kids, but it's really just not the case. They're really starting to mature, and they're basically young adults. and they're learning in middle school just like we do here every Sunday, and mm-hmm. Nick does on Wednesdays, and Erica does all the time. Kids are always learning, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So being a middle school leader, like Jane's position, and he leads a team of people, takes a special person. Like, seriously, there is, if you're familiar at all with middle school ministry, there is a unique set of skills that that God imparts for you to be the one to be able to lead a team of people. And then you have an awesome team that comes around you, and you're able to encourage them as well. If somebody wanted to be involved in that ministry, because I think there's more of you out there who are actually fit for just this purpose of in being involved with these middle schoolers. And personally, I love it. I jump on every opportunity to go to a camp or a retreat. What would somebody experience just kind of briefly if they wanted to be, say, a leader on your team for middle school?
Yeah, so being a leader is one of the ways that you could get involved. It's really not that difficult. You don't have the responsibility that someone in my position might have to kind of force the reeling in. You get to have fun with the students. Mm-hmm. So you would lead games occasionally, not always. You lead small groups, which is a lot of fun. It gives the kids a chance to open up, talk about what they're passionate about, and gives them an opportunity to share their heart mm-hmm. when they decide to do so. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it's fights about Minecraft or whatever. Whatever middle schoolers are into. And then if being a leader isn't something that you're passionate about, we have some other opportunities to get involved. We have summer camp coming up in August, which is super cool. We go to Montana now. Before, we were going to, like, some lame place in, like, Leavenworth or something. No, hey, okay.
Tall timbers, cool.
I went there as a student, and it was not my favorite. But we go to Montana, and it's an adventure camp, which is great because this is Adventure Church. They do things like whitewater rafting and rock climbing.
Paddleboard rafting.
Supping, stand-up paddleboarding, occasionally on rapids. Mm-hmm. Super fun. It's very fun to poke the students' paddleboard and make them fall into the river. I do that. That's entirely my job when I'm there.
They do wingsuit jumping too, don't they?
That'd be fun. I would love that. So occasionally we'll need leaders for that, so that's something to stay tuned for. Mm-hmm. Also, it's expensive. We drive 10 hours in buses. One of them broke down last year, and we had to all stuff all the kids into one bus. But it's expensive, and so if you have extra, you feel generous. I know I'm giving the money talk right now, but yeah, if you want to give and help a student go to camp, that would be awesome. Basically, my philosophy is no matter how much something costs or what financial situation a family is, I don't want a kid to ever miss something because they don't have the money.
Cool.
So,
awesome. Thanks, Jaden. Super, super excited that you're leading that group and that I have a couple kids in there.
I have one more thing to say.
Okay.
Sorry. I forgot to mention that for those of you interested in the possibility mm-hmm. of serving in children's, there's a small kiosk on the back table that has some cards that are perforated so you can remember what you said you wanted to ask about. And then contact information for me. So even if you're not wanting to commit to something, but you just want to ask some questions or get more information, then please go ahead and fill those out. There's a spot to put the contact card, and I will get in touch with you.
Awesome. Thanks, Erica, for being so prepared, making it easy for people to take the next step. All right, Nick, I'm gonna give you a gift card. For $150.
Only $150?
Let me finish the question. Right. And you can use it to go to a fancy restaurant and have sushi or steak.
Sushi. All the way.
Oh, great. That's
sushi.
Awesome. Sushi. How many? Raise your hand if you go sushi.
One. Wow.
Steak? 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 All right. Hey, you're entitled to your opinion.
Part of the 144,000, apparently.
Please. Okay. Dude, I am super excited that you are involved in high school ministry. And so why is God passionate about high schoolers, and why are you?
Awesome. Just like these people, we're all very closely tied together. Our mission is to help students meet, know, and follow Jesus for the rest of their lives. In high school especially, that last part, for the rest of your lives, seems to be becoming more and more critical in our culture, mm-hmm. and students walking away from the church, from following Jesus, when they get to college. And so it's an honor and a privilege to kind of have that last baton passing before we send them off to college, but really kind of all on the same team working to help students meet, know, and follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. So that is God's heart. I'm personally passionate about it for a lot of reasons, but one in particular, when I was in sixth grade, which I know is middle school, but to me it all kind of works together, I felt really clearly from the Lord. One of the few times that I heard him speak to me, and I felt like he was calling me to be a pastor. At sixth grade, 12 years old, our youth pastor was giving a message. I have no idea what it was about. I was probably sweating from the last game that we had just played, and I just felt in my heart I was supposed to do this. And what's powerful about that for me is not that God was calling me to be a pastor, but that in middle school and in high school, those were the years where God took the trajectory of my life and the scope that it could be and really narrowed it in and gave me purpose. I felt like I had calling. I felt like I knew who I was and who he made me to be. And that all was nurtured through youth ministry. That's why I'm pumped about it.
Awesome. Cool. So if somebody wanted to know opportunities to be involved in high school ministry, what would that look like?
Yeah. I would say there are two huge needs and opportunities. One, more apparent than ever, if you are interested in being a youth leader, there is a huge need in high school ministry, and I think actually in all of our ministries right now, to see adults come alongside these students and be a part of their life and be a part of that shaping. God does the work. You just get to simply be a facilitator. You get to be a vessel, a tool that he uses. But seeing adults come together and be a part of the team that leads high school would be so, so wonderful. It's a one-day-a-week commitment, and it will change your life. It's so fulfilling. I walk away every week tired physically but recharged in my heart. Number two, this might seem silly, but I would love if someone in our church came up and was like, I'll provide snacks every week. Seriously, if we could have someone that would be passionate about bringing snacks to youth group, that would be really, really cool. So those are kind of the two big things. And then obviously, if you're in high school and you're not coming on Wednesday nights at 6:30, come. Be a part and be connected. It might be hard for a while. And honestly, just know that up front. It might be weeks. It might be months before you really feel connected. But I promise you, it's part of your design to be with other people who are walking through life, being with you in this stage of life, and learning more about Jesus so you can follow him better. So
awesome.
Those three things.
Cool. Yeah, and I know. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. We're going to call out the next ministry. I know the youth are welcoming, too, in those ministries, and they're learning about just how to welcome a new person. So that next step, take that next step. I'm going to have some of our outreach ministries come up, missions and gleaning, and hear a little bit more about those. So here, Kathy, we'll start with you. So you represent Gleaning Ministry.
Yes.
This isn't a difficult question to answer. What would be a vacation destination that you would love to go visit, that you've always wanted to go to, if you could? And money wasn't a problem. I almost said, and money wasn't an option. Totally different meaning.
I have been to many countries. I'm going to say New Zealand.
Cool.
Yeah, I'd like to go to New Zealand. I have relatives there.
Cool. Yeah, that's a beautiful place. Yeah. Cool. So tell us a little bit about gleaning, because of just that word, there's probably people who are like, what is gleaning? Why is God passionate about it, and why are you involved in it?
Yeah, well, gleaning is basically providing food, and it actually was a concept that began in the Old Testament, where God told the harvesters not to harvest all the way to the edges of their field so that the poor could come in and get food for free. And we're also providing food for free. Our gleaning is taking food that otherwise would go to waste. It's perfectly good food. But it would normally just get thrown away. So we just gather it, and we provide it for people in the community.
So you go out to the fields, and there's, like, gallons of milk on the side and yogurt and stuff, and you just gather all that up?
That's exactly what I do.
Okay, cool.
How'd you know? No. Oh, you really wanted me to add that?
That's what she does. Wow.
No. I get food from several locations, and some is brought to us. Some I go off on Monday morning with my 12-passenger van and go to a location and load my van and bring it back here, and we set it all up and provide it for people.
Yeah, including me.
Yeah.
I love gleaning ministry. It's a huge blessing for my family.
Yeah. And it's on Monday mornings at 12. Well, I guess it's not morning. I always say that. Monday at 12:30. If you come a little early, bring bags or boxes, and or if you don't, we've got stuff there. But
What if I feel like, you know what, I have enough in my budget to pay for food, so should I still come and get food?
Yeah, see, that's one thing I realized I really didn't touch on last service. I don't know how to express it well enough, but it's really for everybody. Mm-hmm. I hear this all the time. People are like, I don't want to come because I'm afraid of taking food away from people. And that's just not who we are at all. I don't know exactly the difference. I like calling it a gleam. We're not a food bank where you come and you have to sign up paper, you fill up papers, and we check things, but we don't do any of that. You just come, and it's really for anybody. We just want to help you with your food budget. Food's expensive. Mm-hmm. We just want you to come and get lots of good food. We get lots of good produce, for one thing, which is very expensive. And I just want people to come and get food. And we actually, that's one of our needs, is we love more people to come. We actually don't have enough people because we have food left over.
All right. Great. So people to come help in that process of getting it set out, people to come take the food.
I've got enough people in my team for setting up.
Right,
my biggest need is for people to help me, because I go with one other person every Monday morning, and it would be a commitment from about 9:30 to 11:30. I need people to come with me and help me load my van. And you do need to be fairly strong, because we get pretty heavy things. But even if you could commit to every month or 2 months, or even if it's students during the summer when you're not in school, that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. I'd love some young, strong men.
Yeah. And what I see with gleaning as outreach, the reason that it's in the outreach ministries is just that community building that we have, our other building here, is packed with people that I don't know. Like, I've never met them. They don't come to Adventure Church. I don't know what their story is. And they're coming for food because that's a felt need that they have. But there's so much more that we can offer through helping them meet, know, and follow Jesus. And maybe that's an invitation to something that we're offering, an outreach event or something like that. So growing to the point where we're making those connections and things, I think, is a great opportunity as well for gleaning. So,
yeah, we do have people. I don't know everybody's story also, but I know we have a couple women that come. And I love when we have extra food to give them, because they give to some immigrants of this area and people that really can use some food and aren't able to come, but they take extra food. They always ask, can we take this food? And we're like, yes, take a bunch of it and go help these people. And I just love what they do.
Cool.
I just want to bring up one last need is if people would like to, if they have a nice big garden in the summer, we would love extra produce if you have it. So you're welcome.
Cool.
We would take that.
Maybe plant a little bit extra that you could bring to gleaning. Awesome. Thanks for sharing, Kathy. All right, Ken, you're representing the missions team. And hold on, you're not going to get off easy. I need a question for you. Okay, if you could get a job at Disneyland, what job would you want to do? Easy. Oh, I got the perfect question for
you. I don't know.
All right, you don't know? Okay, think about it.
Maybe greeting people.
Uh-huh. What suit would you have on when you're greeting people?
Not a suit.
Oh, okay.
I like to be seen.
Okay. You could have the suit on and just have the hat off. All right, so tell us a little bit about missions. We have a missions team that helps support our missionaries that are out on the field. What do you think God's heart is for missions here at Adventure, and why are you a part of that team?
Well, obviously, God loves people, and I believe actually that when a church gives to missions and helps missionaries, that God really blesses them in that process. Mm-hmm. And personally, I've been on some missions and really liked doing what I do. God has given us a purpose in life, and the purpose is to love him or to know him and to make him known. And so within each of us, you know, God has given us a desire to share in some way, to use our gifts and callings. And God has allowed us to have three missionary groups in mm-hmm. Japan, the Philippines, and Africa. Mm-hmm. And two of those groups came from this church.
Yeah, those are families that understood the call and went out, sent out from Adventure Church.
Right.
That's awesome. And so what I'm excited about with missions, with the missions team as well, and your role, and Milt leads that team, and then there's Kirk Brackenbush is on that mm-hmm. team. And
Milt and Linda.
And Milt and Linda, yes. So I think the potential for missions, so if we're hitting that nerve for you right now, like, oh, man, like, missions is my passion, there's so much room to grow in this team, not only in our connection with our missionaries and how we support them. You know, I know that just meeting with Ken this week and hearing his passion for this, but also in going on mission trips, adult mission, like, youth have kind of rotate through and they have mission trips and stuff, but also having adults heading out on mission trips. I think that allows us to see God moving in power in other areas, and it not only blesses those places, but also blesses us in our walk with God. And so maybe even visiting some of these missionaries with a team is something that could come in the future.
Yeah, we more likely would send a group to the Philippines with mm-hmm. Wes and Judy.
Right. Yeah.
And what they do, they go out and they minister to people, and they actually bring children in who need operations and stuff like that, like cleft palates and stuff. And if a group went over there, we might be building houses or mm-hmm. whatever, helping the people in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, they meet the felt needs there for the people, and then churches start. That's just what God does through that ministry. It's amazing.
Hopefully, we'll send other mission groups too. There's no limit to the number of, I mean, there's thousands of missions out there we could be involved in.
Yeah, and that could be even putting together a care package for one of our, like, heading that up, getting the word out to all of us. We contribute to that, and that goes out to the Kings, one of the families that's out on the mission field in Africa, with letters from all of us. Can you imagine just getting that every couple of months, just rotate through the different. So there's lots of areas to create something that's not happening now.
Yeah, so one of our main goals in the future, I believe, is to have more people communicating with the missionaries mm-hmm. so that they feel cared for and, mm-hmm. and we understand more what's going on in their lives.
Yeah, we get to hear the stories. Cool. Thanks, Ken, for sharing. Thank you, you too. All right, so Sunday Experience Ministries. And that's, we're going to talk about worship and just the Sunday experience, which there's a lot of different meanings you can take. You guys are already fighting. You're supposed to work together. Okay. All right. Here, I'll give you this, Susan.
I can't reach.
Let's see. Should I go? Okay, if you are given tickets to a monster truck rally or a professional boxing match, which one would you want to go to?
The monster.
You had to go to one of them.
Monster truck thing,
monster
yeah.
Monster truck. All right.
I can handle that.
Cool.
I've actually already been.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. See? Now we know she actually wants to go to a monster truck rally. Cool. So help us understand when we say Sunday experience. There's a lot of meanings people could take that to, but what do you really mean by that?
When we say Sunday experience, we mean everything a person experiences from the time they drive into our parking lot to the time that they're seated in here. We want to just ensure that nothing we do or don't do interferes with them knowing that they are exactly where God wants them to be on a Sunday morning. We want them to feel welcomed. We want them to feel loved. We want them to feel comfortable. We want them to feel like, yeah,
they're where they're supposed to
they're
be.
They're supposed to be, yeah.
Cool. So what goes into that? Like, where are opportunities for people to step into?
There are all kinds of opportunities. Everything from making sure the coffee is made to having water to making sure the Kleenex boxes are filled, making sure everybody has a bulletin. You guys know how I get after the bulletins. But everybody walking in and being greeted and having a welcome smile and being handed a bulletin is really important to especially somebody that has never been here before or doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a guest over to your house, and when they get there, you act like you didn't expect them to be there. It's changing that to like, wow, we knew God was going to draw you here.
Exactly.
And he wants to meet you here. And so we were ready for you.
Yeah. So every Sunday morning, there is work to be done. Again, whether it's just filling the water pitcher to making the coffee to just even having your eyes open to seeing what's needed. I love it when I see somebody grab an umbrella and run out to the parking lot to cover a mom that's struggling with, you know, all of her little ones. To ensure that she stays dry as she gets in the front door. That's not scheduled. There are a lot of things that are scheduled. I want to make sure there is always somebody greeting at the front door. I want to make sure that the coffee is always made because I need it. There's, you know, certain things that have to be scheduled, but part of it is just who we are, too, is the Sunday
Anyone
experience.
Can greet somebody that they don't recognize who comes to visit and help them feel welcome. Awesome. Thanks. Nick, real quick. If you had to choose between eating McDonald's for a year, only at McDonald's for a year, or eating only ice cream for a month.
McDonald's for a year.
Yeah, good choice. You can get salads there and stuff.
No, dollar menu all the way.
Oh.
I got a budget, man.
Go to Gleaning, dude. Okay, so tell us about worship ministry and God's heart for that.
Yeah, worship ministry is a really, really fun ministry, and something that I think impacts actually every Sunday experience, every week to week, is that ministry and on the stage here and the ministry that happens at the doors and every moment in this church on a Sunday morning is really like a thermostat. We set the tone, we set the temperature, the climate for what someone's going to feel when they walk in. And when someone walks in, they're sort of the thermometer. They're giving us the reading for what they're experiencing and what things are at. But the worship team and everything that goes on a Sunday morning, the greeters, the people who are out in the parking lot, we're like thermostats. And I think that is a really helpful illustration in understanding we are a reflection of the community that we're inviting people into. We're a reflection of the culture that's here. And we want to set the right tone. And that can change everything, the tone that's set or the temperature that's set, so to speak. So I think I'm really passionate about that. And I also really believe that that is part of the role of the church and why God's passionate about it. Just like you were saying earlier, Jeff, we are to show Jesus. We show Jesus, actually, even when we're not expecting it, because he lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. So I want to represent God really well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. So getting involved, if I don't know how to play the harp or something, but I want to be a part of worship, or if I do know how to play the harp, what do I do with that? Like, how do I get involved?
Awesome. Harp, really? That would be cool. So, obviously, if you play any instrument, whether you play your vocal cords right here or an actual instrument, your voice is an instrument. I'm sorry, that sounded bad. Yeah, I know. That sounded bad. Please just come talk to me. We have a really simple, streamlined process to get involved on the worship ministry. It starts with getting an application. It gives you a lot of the basic information, some things for you to fill out. And then I just love to have a conversation with you. Like, let's go grab coffee. We can go grab food. Just hear about more about your heart, more about maybe some of the history you've had with music. And then simply we just invite you to a worship rehearsal. We usually meet on Thursday nights for rehearsal. And bring your instrument. Bring your gift and just be a part of the band and play. And there's no strings attached. You're not having to play that Sunday. We're not expecting you to memorize your music. Let's just see where you're at. Sometimes playing in a band is a lot different than playing by yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's just something for exposure-wise, and that's kind of more on a musical level. There is so much more about worship, though, than in the worship ministry than that, than playing your guitar or singing and being a part of the band. There's so much that goes on with our tech, and there is a huge need, one, for the tech to be super appreciated and know from just our church that they do so much. So thank you. Everything from sound to every visual that you see to all of the cues, they're working really hard to do that. And you know what? There are only about 5 people who do all of that. Mm-hmm. And I really want to see that grow. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to even be super techie. You can be trained and learn these programs, especially for all of the visual communication that you see in production. And so if you want to just serve, hey, I want to serve once every 8 weeks, awesome. Or if you want to serve every week, awesome. Let's just, again, have a conversation about that, and I'll give you a worship application, and we'll just start that process rolling.
Awesome. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Oh, the ease. The ease of worship ministry. One, encountering Jesus. Two, empowering others to be worship leaders, because I don't believe worship leading is a calling that one person has. It's a calling of every single person who's a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Worship leading is not something that you just get called to. So everyone here needs to be a worship leader. So empowering others to do that. And last, encouraging people to be worshipers of God by themselves first, because you can't lead people where you haven't gone yourself.
Sweet. Awesome. Thank you. All right. Well, that was awesome to hear from them. And I know we're going a little longer than our normal service this morning, and I think it's worth it. I just want to wrap things up here and share some important announcements with you guys regarding how can we, these announcements pertain to just how can we live what we're talking about. Like, God's sharing with us, God's leading us to become the body of Christ, maturing more and more in our relationships. And one of the ways he's been directing us, even as pastors, as we seek him, is building relationship deeper. And that's why in the last 6 weeks we've had 2 worship nights. Because God's been speaking to us, bring my people together, gather together, build that deep relationship from which I can take you on mission with me in what I'm doing. So that's why we're going to start having potlucks. We have a potluck today after this service in a half an hour. It starts 12:45. So you have time. If you weren't expecting to go to that, go grab something simple at the store and come back, and we're going to meet in the community building there. So those are changes that we're doing to just bring us together in the same place and let God work in that. Let him build relationship, because we're together. That's what he desires. Another way that we're doing that actually presents a lot of change for each of us personally. And that's been, as pastors, as staff, as the elders, we've been talking about, discussing, and then praying about the idea of moving to one service on Sunday morning. And that disrupts, I know, everybody's regular schedule because we've been on two services for a long time. Well, what we've done is we've kind of looked at our attendance records for the last 6 months. And what's cool is our attendance hasn't gone down, but our attendance has been consistently at a place where we could actually fit comfortably with space to grow in one service. And what God has been impressing on our hearts and just weighing on our hearts is, why are you guys divided into two services when you can fit in one place? When we're forced to go to two services, then go to two services. But he's actually encouraged us to take a big step. And again, I understand this is immediately right now. Your mind isn't even listening to me. You're just thinking about, what's that going to mean for my schedule on Sunday morning? When are we going to get up? What time? So what we're looking at doing is asking everybody to shift an hour. So to come together at 10 o'clock, not 9, not 11, but have a 10 o'clock service, one service. And like I said, really the drive behind that, lead pastor BJ, Nick, and myself have been discussing this, and really it's not a new discussion that we've had. Over the past year, we've discussed this back and forth and just wondering what we're supposed to do. And with God's move and really just clear direction for us to grow deeper in relationship with each other, we feel like this is actually a move of obedience. And so even in my praying and asking God about timing for that, I felt like that's supposed to happen sooner and later. And so actually in 2 weeks, we're going to make that change. So that's March 31st. So next week will be the same schedule. And then the next Sunday after that, then March 31st, we'll go to one service at 10 a.m. And we'll send out tons of reminders and everything to you guys. And feel free to tell people who you know weren't here this Sunday, remind them of that. But again, even in praying about the timing of that and moving that quickly with a big decision, asking the Lord about that, what I felt like he was saying is, for me personally, when I feel the disruption of my schedule and changing things that quickly, he said, feel that disruption as you're being obedient. And I would challenge you or encourage you to go there with it as well. The disruption you're feeling right now, the disruption that might come as you start to consider, oh, wait, but we usually do this on Sunday. Remember that this isn't a move because it's convenient. We're not doing this for convenience sake. We're doing this out of obedience to bring God's people together in one place to worship together. You're going to meet people you didn't even know were a part of this church and have been a part of it for a long time who come every first service. And they're going to get to meet all of you. So that's going to be the benefit of that. So I'm excited for that, but I understand not everyone may share that same feeling. Come talk to me. Bring your concerns. If there's something that that's just really heavy about that news, or if you're excited about it, I'd love to hear about that too, or any of the leaders to talk through the reasons for making that change. Another thing is, next week we start our new series, and it's on Jonah, prophet or pirate. The reason we're going into Jonah is because God, through prayer, worship, praise, has been building this foundation in us. And now saying, step into, be disrupted in what you've become comfortable with so that you begin to grow in relationship. And it's a challenge for me on a personal level to get to know some of you at a deeper level. And it's going to mean I have to set some things down to make time for what's more important. But in all of that, God set that foundation through the book of Jonah. We're going to discover God's heart in a deeper way, because the book of Jonah is all about God. It's not all about Jonah. And so we're going to dig into that, and that'll take us right up to Easter. And in the weeks to come, I'm excited to unfold some of our plans for Easter and even what's coming after Easter. So I want to close in prayer and just kind of cover all of this that we've talked about, and then we'll go over and enjoy food together. I just make a challenge at the potluck. Meet somebody that you don't know very well there. If you want an even bigger challenge, get on your calendar a time that you're going to have somebody over to your house to get to know them better. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you designed your church to represent you, and that's why we're a community. That's why we're the body of Christ with many parts, all meant to work together to represent who you are. And so I pray for the person here this morning who has always struggled with knowing what their place is and what their passion is. I pray that, God, a faith would rise up in them to step out, even if they're not sure, to follow you into something you're calling them to, even if that's just to have a conversation with a leader about the fact that it's hard for them to know where they fit, and let you run with it from there. God, I pray that you would help people rise up to step into the passions that you've made them for, that that life would be an example of who you are, that people would meet Jesus when they meet this person who's now living in their giftings and their passions as a part of the body of Christ. And Lord, I just pray over our potluck. God, I pray that it would be more than just sitting around and eating food, but it would be an opportunity for us to obey you as we bring the church together, that we would build deep, meaningful relationships. Lord, this is the community that's eternal. More than any club or membership or sports team or anything we're involved in, this is the eternal family that you've called us to. Lord, help us to live like it. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. All right, see you at 12:45.
You give away your freedom for my heart. The price you pay to give eternal life. The limits of your grace go past the heavens. The universe could not contain your love. So
to who you are and all you've done. I'll lift my praises to you, my Savior, for who you are and all you've done. Passion of your heart to save my soul, the universe declares your love for us. The splendor of your glory came from heaven, the proof of God pursuing us with love. How great is your love, my soul surrenders to who you are and all you've done. I lift my praises to you, my Savior, for who you are and all you've done. Maker of the heavens, there is none like you. My soul longs for you, and I believe. Holy is your name, the most beautiful. None can stand against my King. Maker of the heavens, there is none.
Life is an open road. We are the moonlit drivers. I hear a voice that calls into the greatest story. I don't know what life holds, but I know that you hold it. I can't see what's ahead, but I know that you wait.
bless you.